that people are dumber than you are. It's BS in the morning.
Jeremy Piven, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, man. It's good to be here with you guys.
Oh, my God. It's great to have you here. I can't believe it. You're here. This is great. You got a show, Treasure Island.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a room. That's a hell of a get.
You know what? Usually you have the kids from Cirque du Soleil doing silks in there, and my show is identical. So there's going to be a lot of continuity.
Yes.
I'm going to stretch out.
A lot of leotard action.
Oh, it's all about the leotards,
that's
man.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. I'm also French-Canadian and, you know, started working on the streets. And then developed my act, and I'm just going to be there's nothing like when I said, wait a minute, this room is intimidating. They're like, yeah, Cirque du Soleil plays here, which I'm a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll work that into the comedy somehow.
There you go.
You know what? Yeah, we'll work that out.
Trapeze or something.
Why
maybe?
Not, man? Right.
And you're doing stand-up. This is purebred stand-up.
Yes.
Which that's like one of my favorite forms of art, my friend. I love it.
Yeah.
And what does it mean to you?
It means everything to me because, I grew up watching it and been such a fan for so long. And I feel like, you know, we're kind of in a little bit of the golden age of stand-up. It's come back around in a major way. And I've been a student of it. I've been on the road, probably did about 250 shows last year, just grinding.
Wow. Nice.
Grinding. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to meet all these great comics. And, you know, just they see how committed I am, and they know me as an actor, and I think there's a little bit of a mutual respect vibe. So I get the keys to the kingdom from all these great stand-ups. So I've been on this kind of accelerated kind of crash course, and I've been loving it. And selfishly for me to get up and do stand-up is incredible because an audience gets a chance to see who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm not playing a fictional character, although I do go into those characters. You know, you're going to get a little bit of Ari Gold, but it's going to be organically because I'm going to be telling a story about the fact that I run lines with my mother. I don't do lines with my mother. Yeah, I wake up, I do lines with my mom, we just start barking, and I just go, Mom, you're so cool! Craig's mom doesn't do lines with him! No, I don't do lines with my mom. I run lines. There's a big difference. My mom is a master thespian. For those kids at home, that means an actor.
That's
you
right.
You know, people like, use smaller words.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. So I've been running lines with my mom since I was a kid. So, you know, everything I said is Ari Gold. I said to my mom's face, and that's insane. So I talk about that a little bit and just, you know, navigating being an actor, being on sets and you know, doing straight stand-up, observational stuff and characters, impersonations, if you will.
You do impersonations?
I do a couple impersonations, yeah.
No.
Yes.
Can you throw some out there
Give
for us?
One of my favorites.
Yes.
Oh, hold on, let me stay.
Well, you know, when...
Well, I'm not a dancing monkey.
No, the only reason...
I will not dance for you.
The only reason,
wait a minute, yes, I will.
Last night I was watching Cobra.
Cobra.
Yes. Now, can you do...
When I do Cobra, the thing about Cobra was...
You can't do it!
Yeah, but when I read the script for Cobra, you know, I said, wait a minute, I could rewrite this. And they said, yeah, you'll go ahead and do it. And so I snorted a big fat line of creatine, and I rewrote the entire script in 11 minutes. It was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. It was titanium. Is that a word? Titanium.
So, yeah, that's a little Stallone for you.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's good.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, I like it.
Tyson? We interviewed Mike Tyson.
Here, interview me
as Mike Tyson.
He wanted to kick Sparks' ass. So,
yeah.
I'll do exactly what we did to Mike Tyson.
Okay.
All right. So, hey, Mike, what would you do if Sparks tried to fight you?
This motherfucker.
Jeremy Piven. Yeah, we just dubbed Jeremy Piven. He was, dude, he's so into the role that he was exactly what Mike Tyson said.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
It's okay.
You know, this dude, you know, the thing about this guy is, you know, everyone thinks he's a tough guy, you know, and everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face, you know. And, you know, basically, I made many millions, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm a vegan. I cry all the time. You know, I was the youngest heavyweight champion of all time. You know, when I fought Trevor Burbick, I had a great deal of itching and burning downstairs. I had gonorrhea, you know. But basically, you know, I sold my house at the time to, you know, to 50 Cent. You know, he got a great deal. But basically, you know,
the thing about Tyson is, first of all, he's a genius. He was the youngest heavyweight champion in the world. He's evolved. He's had this incredible, he really is this Buddha-like person now. And he's had to, his acts are, you know, he's in his second act or whatever you want to say. And he's just such a gentle spirit,
yeah.
You know, but we all love him for something else that he did. But I actually love him for this transformation, because he's got this incredible wife. He's a family man. He's now, you
know. He's terrifying still, though.
Yeah,
he's
terrifying. You don't want to mess with Mike Tyson. No.
We sat next to him.
On a couch, on a futon.
I was scared.
A tiger print futon. And there was the three of us on there. And yeah, I thought he was going to kill us.
I mean, he was docile.
You know, basically, I'm going to go into the futon business and they're all going to be tiger print. I had a tiger when I was in prison. I found out that, you know, basically that you can trade cars for tigers. And so I got a tiger. And so, you know, but I cry all the time.
Yeah, no, dude. His entourage was eating cold cuts, staring sparks down the entire.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but he's a vegan. I mean, he.
I know, it's weird.
Everything about Tyson is fascinating. He's an anomaly. He is. But he's a brilliant guy, actually. And he knows. I mean, no one knows more about the fight game than he does.
Oh yeah,
by the way,
totally.
No one.
We're in the. Jeremy Piven is here. He's got a show tonight over at Treasure Island tonight and tomorrow. Correct.
It's actually just tonight.
Just tonight.
One time only.
One time, wow. 9 o'clock.
Why don't we give away some tickets and some free meet and greets?
What?
You want to get this? Wow. Meet and
I don't know. Okay. Let's do something.
All right. Hey, man, it's your time.
If you want to do lines with Jeremy Piven tonight.
Wait a minute.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. Friday night.
We're all confused.
Treasure Island.
All right. Nobody knows what's going on.
9 o'clock.
Yeah, I got to ask you this before we give it away, because you were on Larry Sanders' show.
Yes, sir.
Dude, I mean, you're talking one of the greatest shows in the history of all time.
Yeah, thank you.
You got to work with the great Gary Shandling.
Yep.
Was it great working with Gary Shandling? Because I heard he could be quite cold on the set if things weren't going his way, that kind of thing. I watched the documentary, the Gary Shandling documentary.
Oh, my God. Judd Apatow just did a brilliant.
Crushed it. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You got to give it up to Judd. I mean, he's an incredibly prolific, creative guy. And he just dedicated, you know, years of his life to revealing who his friend was.
Yeah.
And, you know, he dedicated his life to this incredible, this like an homage to him. That's what, a love letter to him. That's what the documentary is. And it's brilliant. Yeah, Gary was a genius, obviously, and very eccentric. And in the later years of his life, incredibly spiritual.
Yeah.
By the way, this is becoming the worst TED Talk you've ever heard on the radio. And I apologize for that.
I had to ask, man, because I loved you on that show.
No,
I loved the writer's room part of it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, thank you. And I appreciate that. That was my first job out of college. And, you know, just being surrounded by these geniuses. And just, I knew that there, you know, I was witnessing something special. But for me, it was kind of like, you know, being a guy on the bench playing with Michael Jordan, you know, and watching Scottie Pippen, and watching the greatest of all time to do it. And every once in a while, I'd come off the bench and I knew that I could contribute more, because you have to understand, I've been on the stage my whole life. So by the time I hit that show, you know.
You did Second City and everything.
I did Second City, exactly. Tour with Chris Farley, had a theater company with John Cusack.
Right.
You know, I had done 40 movies before I even started Entourage.
Wow.
I won the Fresh Face of the Year award at 37. There was nothing fresh about my face. Okay? So no, Shandling was a genius. I learned a lot from him.
Yeah.
And
do you remember any kind of conversations you had with him? Anything that, or do you remember just the time in general of being on?
You know, I remember all of it, and just watching how much he cared. And he wanted to get all of it really right and authentic, and it meant the world to him. And you know,
he had this weird kind of, you know, that's great. I'm a
oh
fan.
Oh my God!
It's wonderful.
Jesus.
Number three.
You know, and I remember I wrote the script, you know, for the show, and turned it, you know, tried to give it to him, and he's like, "It's wonderful. I'm a fan. It's great. Look at this. Okay, I'm gonna read it right away. Right away. You're wonderful. You're wonderful." And then he just kind of dropped the script and walked away, you know, and in a loving way. You know, he was a genius. I was very lucky.
Ah, dude.
I think the greatest part about the Shandling documentary, I thought, was they would talk about things he said and how he acted and whatever, but then they actually had the visual of the notebooks that he would write the stuff on. So it's like, they'd be like, "Oh, he said this," and then it's written down, you know, in his own handwriting or whatever.
Judd was tireless to go through all that stuff and find it. And you know, we miss that guy, and he was gone before his time. But yeah, I remember being on that show, and the people that knew comedy like yourself were like, you know, was on during Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I was a regular on the Larry Sanders Show playing the head writer.
Yeah.
And Mark Hirschfeld, who was the casting director for Seinfeld at the time, approached me in the parking lot and said, "Oh my God, Jeremy, do you have any time to audition? I'm casting Seinfeld, and we're going to be doing a pilot within our show, and would you audition to play George Costanza?" And I'll be totally honest with you, I didn't have a TV, so I had never seen Seinfeld. So I was like, but I'm such a, being from Chicago, you know, all we want to do is act. We would never turn down an opportunity to act. So I'm so greedy, and I just go, yeah, I'd love to, I would be honored. I'd never seen Seinfeld in my life. I didn't know who George was.
Get out of
here. But I said, who plays him? He said, Jason Alexander. I'm like, oh, I know Jason. I've had many conversations with him on the lot. So I ran in there and auditioned for George Costanza, having never seen the show, but, you know, doing my Jason Alexander impersonation because we had hung out, you know, a few times. And they were like, oh my God, you must be a huge fan of the show. And I was like, yes, I am. and this is a confession, but I actually did the show and played the role, you know, on Seinfeld, played George, having never seen the show.
Wow.
Because
get
I didn't have a TV.
Get out of here.
Because, you know, I'm a weird, I was like a, you know, I was still in that poor,
yeah,
you know, Chicago
minimalist phase.
Yeah, $50 a week. Not even like that premeditated. I was just, I'm used to making no money.
Yeah.
I mean, our head writer came over to my place and he's like, why are you living in the guest house? And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you're a series regular on a show. Let's go, man. You can step it up. So that's basically what happened on that show.
Dude, that's insane. That's
insane.
Yeah.
You auditioned for George Costanza's, and you never even saw. Insane. Dude.
And then I got to be in it. And
awesome.
To be honest with you, there's a lot of pop culture I have no reference for. I've never seen an episode of Seinfeld. I mean, I've never seen an episode of Seinfeld. I got to be honest.
What?
I've never seen an episode of Friends.
Dude,
in
you
my
gotta
life,
just start
ever.
Binging.
That hurts.
Binging. Okay, think
just
about this.
Just go.
Think
just
about,
do it.
Think about this for a second. I start binging. Think about the hours that it's going to take me.
Oh yeah.
So you're just saying give a week to not sleep and just dedicate your life.
All right, I'm not saying just
you
a week
drift
straight.
Drift in and out of sleep as you're binging.
Oh, okay.
That's
you
how
just,
I do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Take
you can
little
just
naps.
It's worth it. I'll just say Seinfeld's worth it. Friends.
What's a show right now that you guys are loving?
The Office.
That's 10 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't have cable, so I don't watch TV.
But I mean, a show that's on right now.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think what the most recent show I watched was. There's that Ted Bundy documentary that everybody's been watching.
It's on Netflix.
See, this is the problem, you guys.
Yeah.
We've got more product than ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you guys couldn't even name your favorite show right now. It's a weird time. You know what I mean?
It is. We're saturated, right?
You're oversaturated. Yeah. Nothing's cutting through. You know, we're just, just trying to put out a ton of product, but no one can name a show they're watching right
now. That's why you got to go see live entertainment, man.
There you go.
That's why.
Excellent segue.
Hey! Vegas is perfect.
Your boy Jay Pizzle, Treasure Island tomorrow night, 9 o'clock.
That's right, 9 o'clock. Jeremy Piven.
If you don't know, now you know.
We're going to give away some tickets right now. What's your favorite number? We always give it away to the guest's favorite number, the caller number.
I do like the number 44.
Holy hell.
That's it, man. Lost Boys got to die to get 44. 876-3692. Caller number 44. You're going to go see Jeremy Piven tomorrow night over at the TI. And that's a hell of a room. And congratulations,
great,
dude.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
Nothing
it.
Nothing but success to you. Jeremy Piven, go see him do some stand-up here in Vegas.
I got to get your info. You got to get up.
Scott Chatter brought to you by Tuscany Casino. A triple royal was dealt there at Tuscany. East Bonanza Road and Mount Hood has an injury with traffic injury, whatever. Accident with traffic at South Pecos and East Patrick Lane. Hit and run at Rockfield Drive. Accident with injury at 1000 South Torrey Pines. Jeremy, you want to say this one?
It says Jeremy Piven is going to be performing tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Treasure Island.
There you go.
There's 11 accidents that are heading towards him because the show is so furiously
there
good.
There you go.
His stand-up may be viciously mediocre, but you're not. Live the dream. See you tomorrow night, kids. There's another accident. There's going to be more accidents. But you know what? You don't have any accidents. We celebrate you with the power of Christ, and I am Jewish. Have a great time, guys.
Once again, this contract brought to you by Tuscany Casino. Hottest machines in town.